This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Halfway through the program, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuke, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. Producer Rory McGoran doing the great job on the board. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're pleased to welcome to the program Kalen Addison. Kalen is a defenseman for the Lethbridge Hurricanes. He's from Brandon, Manitoba. He expects to hear his name drafted at the upcoming NHL draft in Dallas a little less than 2 weeks from now. Kalen, good morning and welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Kalen. Obviously wanted to bring you on, talk about your upcoming the upcoming NHL draft. Before we do that, though, looking back at the season that was for your Lethbridge Hurricanes, getting all the way, having a good playoff run in the WHL playoffs, how was your season, how was your team season for the Lethbridge Hurricanes in the Western Hockey League?
Well, I think we had a pretty up and down year at times. That's my second year in a row. We've traded away a bunch of our guys at the deadline too. And, kind of ended up with a whole different team after the deadline. So, we had a couple pretty bad losing streaks there, but, in the end, it's big for our future with the young skilled group that we have. And, and then for the playoffs, we really turned it on. And I think the positivity with the younger group helped us in the playoffs. And, we didn't dwell on losses and it allowed us to bounce back the next night and win the next one. So I think looking into the future, it's real bright for our group.
Kalen Addison, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Kalen expected to be drafted at the upcoming NHL draft in Dallas. Kalen, you've just recently returned from Buffalo where you were at the NHL draft combine. What was your experience like at the combine, being poked and prodded by all sorts of individuals throughout the NHL and, of course, the always interesting interview process that draft prospects go through?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's long, exhausting days, but in the end, it's so cool to talk to so many high-end hockey people from, around the world and those type of people. So, learning so much from them and, hearing what they have to say about you and just talking to them and saying hi to someone new about every 10 seconds of the day is pretty cool and something that I'll remember forever. So, I learned a lot there, but it's just such a cool experience talking to all those people.
Kalen, if you had to write your own scouting report, how would you describe yourself as a player?
An offensive defenseman. I like to be creative in the rush and join into the rush and make things happen in the offensive zone. But just a guy that likes to create offense all over the ice and just be offensive and creative.
So, Kalen, is there a current NHL defenseman that you've modeled your game after?
I like to say Tyson Barrie.
What aspects of Barrie's game do you sort of try and emulate, let's say?
Well, I think kind of similar size and stature. And, I think we're pretty similar skaters and see the ice pretty similar. He's really creative in the ozone too and joining into the rush and popping into open ice and stuff like that. So I think we're pretty similar style game.
Kalen Addison, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Kalen is a defenseman for the Lethbridge Hurricanes. He's from Brandon, Manitoba, expected to be drafted at the upcoming NHL draft in Dallas. Kalen, I want to take you back to last August. You represented Canada at the Ivan Hlinka Memorial Tournament. You won gold for Canada in that tournament. Congratulations on that, of course. What was that experience like for you? What was it like to wear the maple leaf on your jersey?
Oh, it's such a special opportunity, just being able to just play for Team Canada in the first place. And then, we went over with such a deep, strong team. And, winning that tournament was the best time of my life. So, but just being there with all my friends and one of my best friends, Ty Smith, is my D partner again. And so, we enjoyed that together again. And then my head coach in Lethbridge was the head coach too. So just being able to, have that opportunity with so many people that are close to me and Kissio has helped me so much in Lethbridge. So just being able to do that with him and all my friends is so special.
You mentioned Ty Smith, of course, as one of your best friends and your D partner. You know, how have you guys, I mean, he's expected to be drafted, of course, at the upcoming draft as well in the first round. You know, how have you guys sort of gone through the experience together in your draft eligible year and sort of learned and played off each other throughout the season?
Well, we always want success for each other, and, you know, we're never trying to, you know, bring the other guy down or whatever. So, we're really good friends, and I think just kind of going through the same kind of things throughout our whole life so far with hockey, and it's been a cool ride for us, and becoming such good friends because of it has been one of the best parts. So, and then also you get to we're always playing together too when we're on the same team. So. It's been a cool ride for us, and we're just trying to just enjoy it and stay positive all the time.
Kalen, you're projected to be drafted in the first round. How much attention have you paid to the draft rankings, whether it's Craigslist or other rankings that come out throughout the year? And do you ever imagine yourself being drafted by a certain team, or can you not do that because you just don't know who's ultimately going to pick you in a couple weeks?
Yeah, I don't know. It's all over social media all the time, and so it's tough to, keep your eye off. But, I'm not really sure where I'm going to go or whatever. So, I think that's going to be the exciting part, is just to see what happens. And, wherever I end up, I'm going to be happier than ever. So, it's just a cool experience, and, whatever happens is, I'm happy with.
Kalen, you mentioned your head coach in Lethbridge, Brent Kissio, earlier, and just how has he influenced your hockey career and helped you grow your game?
Well, I think just all the opportunity that he's given me in Lethbridge, coming in as a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, just playing on the power play, and all the other special opportunities that they've given me. I can't thank them enough for always being there for me and helping me day in and day out.
Kalen Addison is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Kalen plays as a defenseman for the Lethbridge Hurricanes, expected to be drafted at the upcoming NHL draft in Dallas. Kalen, players obviously make it to the NHL, but they never do it on their own. There's always family and friends who are key components of their draft story, of their hockey career. Who's a big influence on you throughout your hockey career? Obviously, your parents, I'm sure, will be a significant portion of that, but is there anybody that sort of jumps out to you as being a key driving force for you to have reached such success at this point?
I can't really pick out one specific person. It would just, like you said, it would just have to be my parents. Just the endless meals and commitments that they make to, keep me going and allow me to be happy and keep playing the game I love. So just them traveling with me when I was a kid, and, my mom always making meals, and, them always taking me to practice games and stuff like that is just a huge sacrifice. And, I'm so thankful for that.
Kalen, going back to the WHL Eastern Conference semifinal, that was, of course, between your Lethbridge Hurricanes and the Brandon Wheat Kings. What was that like to play and beat the team that you grew up cheering for? Because I read that your family had season tickets growing up.
Yeah, I had season tickets two rows up behind the net every year with my dad and grandpa. So it's pretty cool when I come back and play in Brandon. Especially in the playoffs, it was pretty... I was pretty hyped up, so it's pretty weird though. But at the same time, it makes it that much more cool. So it's something that you dream of growing up, is played for the Wheat Kings. So then getting to come here and play against them in the playoffs was something else. So I couldn't beat that, and then beating them in five games was pretty special too.
Kalen, how much family are you going to have with you at the draft in Dallas at the end of the month?
Just my mom, dad, and my sister.
Are you excited for the process to be in Dallas? I mean, it's obviously a nerve-wracking experience as you're in the arena waiting to hear your name. I mean, I guess it's probably a good combination of nerves and excitement going through your body.
Yeah, it'll be exciting, but it'll be really nerve-wracking at the same time until, whatever happens. But, we just got to sit there and enjoy the experience and, like I said before, just, stay positive no matter what, and, just enjoy time with my friends and family, and at the end of the day, whatever happens, wherever I go, I'll be happier than ever. So it'll be a cool process, but yeah, for sure, it will be nerve-wracking.
Kalen Addison is a defenseman for the Lethbridge Hurricanes, expects to hear his name drafted or announced next couple weeks from now in Dallas, Texas at the 2018 NHL Draft. Kalen, thanks very much for joining us this morning. Best of luck down in Dallas, and appreciate your time and your insight.
Thank you very much.
Take care, Kalen. You too. Have a great day. Kalen Addison, defenseman for the Lethbridge Hurricanes. When we come back, we're going to discuss our unrestricted free agent of the week. That's a defenseman on the Stanley Cup winning Washington Capitals. His name is John Carlson, set for a big payday given his performance this season. We talk about John Carlson up next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio. 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Golden Knights, and around behind a stick is lost. That of McNabb, taken on by Oshie, knocks down Eakin. Across now for a drive. Score! It is Carlson!
The one and only Doc Emmerich with the call. John Carlson scoring in game four of the Stanley Cup Final. He scored from the Ovechkin spot. They kept rotating guys on that power play, and Carlson was down at the faceoff dot where you're used to seeing Alex Ovechkin, or I guess even Patrick Laine, if you want to bring the parallels back to here in Winnipeg. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're going to talk about John Carlson. He's about to strike it rich, potentially, if he gets to free agency, or if the Capitals sign him to a long-term deal prior to July 1st. This segment of the show is brought to you by our good friends at Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey, and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Located in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for over 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. Remember, if you love Bernstein's Deli as much as we do, show them some love. Leave a 5-star review for them on TripAdvisor. You'll feel better about yourself, and potentially, you can eat some good quality Bernstein's Deli.
I'm golfing with Aaron from Bernstein's Deli after the show.
Yes, that's going to be a doozy.
I'm planning on bringing, I'd say, at least 5 Illegal Curve sandwiches in my golf bag.
The better question is, how many golf balls are you planning on bringing? I mean, you know, it's been a while since you swung the clubs the first round of the offseason of the season, if I'm not mistaken.
I think I have a sleeve of pink golf balls. That should be enough.
Just one sleeve?
Yep.
Okay, sounds reasonable.
And whatever he finds around the course, of course.
Of course, you know, he's just stealing, yeah. Stealing, running onto other fairways like a, you know, like a rat stealing other golf balls.
Yeah, I love using range balls.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the course loves having.
Let's
you.
Let's be honest, Drew. I'm not a good enough golfer to use those fancy Titleist balls or whatever you use.
Hey, my golf game is not fancy.
Pro V1s or whatever they're called.
They are Pro V1s. There's Pro V1s.
$20 a golf ball.
They're not cheap. That's true. They are an expensive golf ball. But I my golf game doesn't deserve those either.
Do the majority of people that use those high-quality golf balls actually benefit from using those golf balls? Like, I feel like it doesn't really matter what most golfers use as far as a golf. It's like a golf ball is a golf ball.
My guess is that the people who only use Pro V1s, let's say there's, you know, and I'm talking about weekend hackers who say, my game only needs Pro V1s. My guess is that they can afford Pro V1s without having to worry much about the cost of losing a Pro V1.
Right.
But for the rest of us, you know, schleppers who don't necessarily need Pro V1s, I think we're fine with whatever we can dig out of the used ball bin at your local golf shop.
Like, just spend your money on beer as opposed to golf balls.
Well, we know that that's what you do. We know that you are certainly up to that challenge, and we salute you for that and everything else. You know, you're golfing with our good buddy Richie, of course, formerly of the program.
Yep.
Yeah. Have you heard Richie's new podcast?
I have not.
Yeah, he's got a law podcast. This is not a joke. On his law firm website, there's a podcast featuring Richie.
Drew, you spend way too much time on the internet.
I found that via Facebook one of these recently. I haven't heard it yet, but if you're looking for a law podcast, Richie's got a law podcast.
Well, Drew, you should be listening to that because you're probably going to need a good lawyer pretty soon.
you figure Laura's going to get rid of me pretty soon? I wouldn't blame her, I guess. Anyways, let's talk about John Carlson. He's going to be a wealthy, wealthy man either on July 1st or before then.
Is he not already a wealthy man?
He is. He's going to be a wealthier man after his remarkable season. I mean, he had 68 points this year in 82 regular season games. He led all defensemen. He had 20 points in 24 playoff games. He led all defensemen. A two-part question for you. One, can the Capitals afford to lose him? And two, what does the price tag start with? Does it start with a 7? Does it start with an 8? Does it start with a 9 for John Carlson?
What about 3? When was the last time a defenseman led the regular season in scoring and the playoffs in scoring?
I mean, I don't know the answer to that.
I don't either. I'll tell you what,
there's a challenge to our Legal Curve audience.
Well, we have the internet here, so somebody can look it up.
We could hit search.
Yeah, I like to give challenges out there. You know, it's like a scavenger hunt. Let us know the last time the same defenseman led the NHL in scoring in the regular season and in the playoffs. Maybe Drew Doughty when the Kings won the Cup, or Duncan Keith. That would come to mind, but even then, I doubt it.
I don't think Drew Doughty's ever led defensemen in scoring.
I don't think so either, but those are the two names that would first jump to mind. And if it's not those two guys, I think you're going to be looking for a needle in the haystack.
Maybe back in the day, Larry Scott Robinson, Niedermeyer. Like Scott Niedermeyer led the playoffs in scoring back in 2003.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he led the regular season in scoring
that
year.
That's why I'm giving it out as a challenge. Let us know and tweet at us or text us, 129090, or tweet at us at Illegal Curve, and let us know if you have the answer.
How about this?
Yeah.
If someone gives us the answer on Twitter.
Yeah.
I will buy them an Illegal Curve sandwich.
John, will you dine with them? Is it a date with Ezzy that you're offering up?
I don't know necessarily the person wants to dine with me, but I will buy them the sandwich.
Okay, fair enough.
I will be there to hand them the sandwich.
Now go back to the first two questions that I asked.
Okay, John Carlson is going to make a lot of cake.
A lot of cake.
And he's probably going to eat it too.
Okay.
You mentioned to Drew, I mean, look, it. He was excellent for the Capitals during the regular season and in the playoffs. He's a number one pairing defenseman, one of the best offensive defensemen in the league. I don't think he's the best offensive defenseman, but he's probably top five. This is a bit of a down year for defenseman scoring. Sure. When you consider guys like Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns, their point totals were down a little bit. But the point is, he's a bona fide top pairing defenseman. I can't see any scenario in which the Capitals don't re-sign him. And he's probably going to get a 6-year contract.
Well,
maybe a 7-year contract.
Won't he get the max? If you're, doesn't he go into Washington?
Well, he is 28 years old,
right? So he's
so not... maybe because you know by the time that contract ends, he's 36 or 37 years old, whatever it is. But I can't see them signing him to anything less than 6.
But he won't. I mean, would he accept less than 6? If you're John Carlson, don't
he can become a UFA earlier.
He could become another UFA when he's 34, but I mean...
But the point is, he's going to sign a long-term contract, probably 7 or 8 years. Let's agree on that.
I would agree on that. I'd be surprised if it's anything other than 8, assuming it's with Washington, but, I mean, you certainly... You make a valid point that maybe
find out July 1st.
Maybe he wants another contract when he's in his, you know, in his early 30s, as opposed to waiting for another contract when he's 36
years
old.
Point is, he's not signing a 4 or 5 year deal. It's going to be 6, 7, or 8, and most likely, it is going to be around $8 million a year. If you look at some of the comparables.
Yeah.
I think Chris Letang is probably a pretty good comparable. He's probably going to make more than Chris Letang. Obviously, Letang signed that contract several years back. But I think Letang is a good comparable. I don't think Carlson is necessarily in that elite defenseman category. And by that, I mean Drew Doughty, Erik Karlsson, Brent Burns. I think these players are better all-around defensemen. Mm-hmm. Not saying that John Carlson isn't good defensively.
He's not Mike Green in that he's a one-trick pony. Green was at his heyday,
right.
he was a one-trick pony.
I just wouldn't say that he's one of the best all-around defensemen. He's one of the best defensemen, for sure. I'm just saying, when you're talking about those elite defensemen, so I don't know that you can say that he's a $10 million a year defenseman like Drew Doughty. When Drew Doughty's contract expires and he signs his next contract, which should be with the Kings, I think you could argue that Doughty is a $10 million a year defenseman. I think Carlson's probably more around $8 million.
Well, I have the answer to the question.
Oh,
so
do you?
I do.
Hang on. Does that mean that Ezzy has to buy you an Illegal Curve sandwich?
Potentially, but...
Do you want to dine with Ezzy, though?
Well, no, I was going to say, because the problem is, like, we have people guessing, but the issue is, if we don't know the answer, how are we going to be able to verify?
Well, I was... Just let somebody...
So I'm going to give our listeners a hint. I won't, because, of course, I'm not going to win. I don't want to win. I'm not like Ez, who tries to win a Legal Curve contest.
Yeah.
So
Ezzy won a contest of rumors last week.
So well, I just enter the contest? I don't actually think I'm going to win.
It's true. So I'm going to give a clue. The clue is, the UFA of the week that we're talking about. The name is rather similar.
The name is rather... Well, okay, there's... Okay, obviously...
Oh, so it's Erik Karlsson.
Ezzy, you just won the contest! Congratulations!
Was it last year?
2015-16.
That sort of makes sense. We probably should have known that one.
Yeah, it seemed in retrospect. I kind of was like, when Ezzy kept saying Karlsson, Karlsson, that seems familiar.
Yeah, but the reason why you wouldn't think that is because in 2015, Ottawa didn't go to the Stanley Cup Final.
No,
they didn't even go to the Eastern Conference Final that year.
Well, that's why the year is a bit surprising. The name isn't, but you would have thought it would have been last year when they made it all the way to the...
What did he have, Dave? Like 15 points or something in two rounds?
Hold on.
I thought you had the answer.
I did. Well, I'm going to the playoff one. I had the regular season.
Okay.
He had... Hold on.
It's not division here.
It's not me. It's the NHL website. What do you want from me?
A better website.
Yeah, it's not working.
Okay.
Not.
Anyway,
what was the Stanley Cup final that year? Chicago-Tampa,
back
right?
It up. Beep,
hang on. Dave,
beep,
got the
beep.
Dave got the entire thing wrong.
Back it up. Ezzy did not win. Stupid NHL website did not update. Not my fault.
So this sounds like a lot of user error.
Was it Eric Carlson or not?
It was not Eric Carlson.
This is an operation, let me tell you. This is just...
Did Ottawa make the playoffs that year?
No.
They didn't?
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know, but...
Wow. I'll tell you what. We're bringing our A game on this Saturday morning, let me tell you. No doubt about that. So, Dave, can the Capitals afford... You're off research for the rest of the show, let me tell you.
Thank God.
Yeah, you dodged that bullet for the rest of the show. Can the Capitals afford to lose John Carlson?
No. I mean...
By the way, I just looked it up. The Senators... were defeated in the first round that year.
Yeah.
So they made at least they made the playoffs.
The contest is still open.
No, I mean, you just saw what he was able to do. I mean, why would you? You know, it's funny because it's interesting, and it was an interesting answer Michael Tracos gave in the segment we had with him, because he talked about how there was consideration for a rebuild. And isn't it funny how the narrative can quickly change from this is a team that was considering a rebuild potentially,
sure,
to one that, you know, as he said, they're going to prepare to move on from John Carlson, potentially rebuild this roster, to now this is a team that is seen as something that can compete for the next 2 to 5 years. So if you're a team that's going to go down that avenue, mm-hmm, and you're going to try and compete, well, you kind of need a stud defenseman with which to do that. And again, we've talked about it in numerous aspects of the game, whether it's within the Winnipeg Jets organization or the NHL in general. When you have these players that have such a significant impact on the game, they don't grow on trees, and you don't get them easy. So when you have them within the organization, you do your best to keep them.
You do whatever. You worry about the... You deal with it in the here and now, and then you can deal with the ramifications of it a little bit later on. You know, be it that they have to trade a guy off the roster, because you can go over the salary cap, you know, in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then so maybe you get the deal done before July 1st, and then you figure everything else out afterwards. I tend to agree with you guys. I think
Do we have the answer or not?
Well, we have one guess so far of Bobby Orr, at Chucky D1Can. That's a Twitter user.
Does he win by default?
Well, so far, if the answer is Bobby Orr.
Which, according to Homer, is the two sweetest words in the English language.
Default, of course. So Bobby Orr is the guess so far. We'll leave the contest open. Who was the last defenseman?
Well, Drew, we don't want guesses. We want the answer.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, okay.
Yeah, so, they have to have the right, correct answer, which, for the record, we will not be able to verify. Yeah,
we don't have yet. So far, we have one suggestion that it's Bobby Orr prior to John Carlson this year, but we'll try and give you the answer.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
not common. It hasn't happened many times in NHL history where a defenseman has led the regular season and playoffs in scoring. That's why John Carlson picked a good time to do it.
And that's why he's going to strike it rich, either before July 1st or on July 1st when he hits free agency. Up next, TSN Director of Scouting Craig Button joins us to talk more about the upcoming 2018 NHL Draft. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Hour number three of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN 1290. Still looking for an answer to our trivia question. Who was the last defenseman to lead the NHL both in regular season and playoffs defenseman scoring? So you have to do it both in the regular season and the playoffs. If you know the answer, tweet at us at Illegal Curve. Drew Mandel alongside Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg.
Maybe Craig Button knows.
We got Craig on the line, so let's go to the Hockey Show Hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Craig Button, TSN's Director of Scouting, joins us now to talk about the upcoming 2018 NHL Draft. Craig, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, good morning to you also.
Craig, obviously, you know, we're talking now that the Cup Final is concluded and our focus is shifting towards the upcoming draft in Dallas. It's pretty clear cut that, barring something tremendously unforeseen, Rasmus Dahlin is going to be the first overall pick of the Buffalo Sabres. do you think the comparisons of Dahlin to Carlson and Nicklas Lidström are fair, given what you've seen of him so far?
I don't think he plays the game in any way, shape, or form like Erik Karlsson. I don't see that as a comparison at all. You can talk about Nick Lidström in the sense that, Rasmus has a real calm and efficiency to his game, and certainly when you're comparing somebody to one of the greatest defensemen that ever played the game, I mean, that in itself is highly complimentary. But I do see some similarities in the way that Rasmus plays to Nicklas. I think a more current comparison is Victor Hedman. The skating, the elusiveness, the ability to play defense and offense in all its essential forms is what is a comparable that I would use for Rasmus Dahlin.
Craig, right winger Andrei Svechnikov of the Barry Colts was ranked number 2 on your final Craigslist. In your opinion, is he the best pure goal scorer in the draft? And why did you ultimately have Svechnikov ahead of Filip Zadina?
I don't think he's the best goal scorer in the draft. I think that's reserved for Oliver Wahlstrom. I think Wahlstrom is an unbelievable goal scorer, and he can score in so many different ways. But Andrei Svechnikov, to me, and I'll just give it to you in two words, Marian Hossa. That's the type of player he is. He's a complete player. He can play every situation in the game. He's powerful. He's smart. And when you got an all-around player like that with the power, I mean, he's in my view, he's clear-cut number 2 for me. Like, you go through the year, you go through 2 years. I mean, I've watched Andre for 3 years, actually, because he was always playing 2 years ahead of his age group. So that's unbelievable what he's been able to do. But as Rasmus Dahlin sits at 1, very clearly in my mind, so does Andrei Svechnikov. Never, I don't even know when that was, February, March, somewhere, probably March, became really clear to me that Svechnikov was the second best player in this draft.
Craig, I'm spending about 10 minutes trying to get this guy's name right. I hope I do. But what's your argument for why Jesperi Kotkaniemi should be in the top 5 at this year's draft?
Well, number 1, he's a thorough centerman. And you know, it's really interesting. You know, you go through the drafts and everybody wants to talk about should this guy be there, should this guy not be there. His game reminds me of Anze Kopitar. So if we go back to the 2005 draft and Anze Kopitar went 11th, Sidney Crosby went 1, and that was clear cut, and he's been the best player. Anze Kopitar has no other equal in that draft, no other equal. And you know, if he would have gone 2nd in that draft or somebody would have had him rated top 5, people would go, oh, God, how do you have him rated so high? Listen, Kotkaniemi is a legitimate player. He can play the game defensively, offensively, transition. He's big. I mean, he didn't play a lot of center in the SM Liga this year as for Assat. And when he played a lot on the left wing. But I see him as an elite number 1 center. In the form, I'm not saying he's Andre Kopitar, but in that form. So, you know what? Like, I'm not so sure I have him high enough. That's what I say.
Craig Button is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Craig is, of course, TSN's Director of Scouting. Craig, Barrett Hayton had a very good year for the Sault Ste. Marie in OHL. He had an excellent regular season and followed that up with a strong performance in the playoffs. You've said that Hayton reminds you of Patrice Bergeron of the Boston Bruins. Is that his ceiling at the NHL level?
Ceiling? Geez, if you're Patrice Bergeron, I don't know, do you want a higher ceiling than
no,
that?
No, I mean, that's an incredible ceiling. That's what I'm saying. I mean, yeah. That's Patrice high praise Bergeron, if you want.
He's going to the Hall of Fame. Patrice Bergeron's been a great player. And like, listen, I got to go back. Right? The reason, like, I think he's got a really strong two-way game like Patrice Bergeron. I think he's exceptionally smart. And I go back to the 2003 draft when I was the manager in Calgary, and I wasn't doing a lot of scouting. But early on in the season, I'd been out in the Quebec League, and I'd watched Bergeron in a game, and it was like, geez, he's really intriguing. You know, there's not a lot of flash and dash to him, but he's always in the right spot on the ice. He always makes the right play. The puck was always on his stick, and he kept. And you know, I go back to my own memories of that. I remember later in the year going to watch a game in Gatineau, and Acadie was playing there. And again, I'm watching Patrice Bergeron, and I'm thinking, he's a really good player. You know, Claude Ruel, the late He was Mr. Everything, Swiss Army knife for the Montreal Canadiens. He coached, he scouted, player development, assistant coach. Told me years ago, Craig, watch the guy that always has the puck. Those are usually the good players. And Barrett Hayton always has the puck, and if he doesn't have the puck, he's in position to get it back. So that was a comparison to Patrice Bergeron. We know Patrice was a second-round pick. We know what he's become. But when I go back to Patrice's draft year, and I just see a lot of similarities at that same time for Barrett Hayton, and I also see the potential to your point in time. I mean, if he becomes anything close to Patrice Bergeron, I mean, that's going to be a top player. So when you ask me about ceiling, I don't know, but he's that type of a player.
Craig, Noah Dobson of Acadie Bathurst of the QMJHL, he was ranked 8th on your final Craigslist. He won everything this year. He won a gold at the Ivan Hlinka tournament. He won a QMJHL title, and, you know, obviously most recently won a Memorial Cup. In your opinion, is he projecting as that number one pairing defenseman for whoever drafts him?
Yeah, top pairing defenseman. I mean, I'm very careful about saying a guy's going to be a number one elite defenseman. I think there's one of them. I think it's Rasmus Dahlin. Does that mean that Noah couldn't potentially become that one day? Perhaps, but I see him clearly as a top pairing defenseman. He's efficient. He the puck comes out of your zone cleanly. You know, it gets onto the sticks of the right players at the right times in transition. He's got a calm and a real good, intelligent view of the game in the offensive zone. And yeah, again, you're not going to see end-to-end rushes from Noah Dobson. But when you're playing the game and, you know, you're never in trouble defensively, you're contributing to the game in attack mode, and you're able to really master the game in the offensive zone. I mean, those types of defensemen are really, really hard to come by. And I think Noah fits the bill in all those three areas. And, you know, that's why, and that's what puts him in the top pairing defenseman group. I will add this really quickly, just back to when we talked about Svechnikov. You know, when I go from 3 to 10, and maybe even to 11 with Joel Farabee, I don't see much difference between the players. You know what? If you wanted to tell me that you thought Noah Dobson was the third best player in the draft, I wouldn't make much of an argument there, if any. And, you know, if you want a power winger, you can go after Brady Tkachuk. If you want a really good offensive winger, you can go after Zadina. A couple of centermen, we just talked about Kotkaniemi and Hayden. If you want a goal scorer, Wahlstrom. If you want defensemen, we're talking about Dobson, and there's a couple other ones in there too. So I think there's a smorgasbord of talent available, and teams can look at it and go, well, we want this guy. We want a defenseman, or we want a center. That's how close I think it is between 3 to 10 and maybe 3 even to 11.
Craig, Sarah Noel, the Oshawa winger, is ranked 14th on your list. He has great size and good hands, but some scouts feel he is high risk and his skating isn't good enough. What would be your assessment of Noel?
One thing that's a beauty of player evaluation and assessment is everybody has different views on it and different opinions. You know, one of the things I think you have to be able to do, I don't think you have to be able to do it, is project improvement and project where a player can get to. And you know, that's not easy to do. And certainly somebody that doesn't like his skating will say, geez, I'm not so sure about his skating. That's fine. I'm going to say this, and the Winnipeg Jets fan, Sarah Noel reminds me of Blake Wheeler. That's what he reminds me. I think he's got a big motor. I think he can make plays. I think he can finish plays. I think that he's got a power element to his game. He's got a real determination in his game. And I think when it's all said and done, you got to remember, Sarah Noel is 6'5". I've watched the growth of this young man for 2.5 years. It's been beyond impressive. And I think there's a lot more growth in Sarah Noel to be a really top player. But in terms of style of play, you know, and this goes back to last year, watching him thinking like, geez, he's got a little bit of some of the style of game of Blake Wheeler. And I know when Blake Wheeler went 5th overall to the Phoenix Coyotes, there was a lot of eyebrows raised, and he never signed with Phoenix. Blake Wheeler's a top, top player in the league.
Craig Button's our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Craig is TSN's Director of Scouting. The NHL draft a little less than 2 weeks from now. The, of course, first round was 2 weeks ago yesterday. Craig, sticking with Sault Ste. Marie, defenseman Rasmus Sandin was 15th on your final Craigslist. What has most impressed you about his game when you've watched him play?
Yeah, well, I don't know if there's one thing, because Rasmus doesn't have one element to his game. He's got a lot of elements. He's exceptionally smart. He understands, you know, the defensive side of the game, the transition side of the game, the offensive side of the game. He just is able to be in the right spots, in the right situations, making the right plays all the time. And, you know, I think that, like most players, you need some complementary players around you, and I think that Rasmus will need that. But, you know, he's an excellent passer. He understands that when you have the puck on your stick, good plays have to ensue, and they do, you know, under pressure in the defensive zone. You know, he gets his eyes up all the time and understands, okay, this is where we can attack to. I think defensemen a lot of times, I don't think, it's that mandatory. Big part of defenseman growth is understanding what not to do. And I think Rasmus, because of his hockey sense and his understanding of the game, already has that element to a little greater extent. And when you're not a big player, and Rasmus isn't a big player, I think you learn that at a younger age, because you learn that you can't get yourself involved in unnecessary physical entanglements. You can't go chasing after the puck if you make a bad play with the puck. So I think Rasmus has really been able to develop his game to this point in time where all those elements are really, really firmly in order. And just with some physical maturity and some strength, and that's going to come by the time he's 21, 22, I think that, you know, he's going to be a real good, solid player. My comparable for him, I'll go back to the Winnipeg Jets, is Josh Morrissey.
That's a pretty good comparable.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Josh went, 13th overall. And, you know, I heard some different questions about Josh, about his size and everything. And Josh played a year in the minors. And, you know, look where he is now. I mean, and Josh is just starting to move forward in terms of where he's going to be able ultimately to contribute in other areas. And, you know, big-time competitor, understands how to play, is a real good defender. And I think Rasmus has similar qualities at the same stage.
Craig, final question for you here, and we really appreciate you joining us this morning. I was looking at your March Craigslist and comparing it to your final Craigslist, which was released in early June here. One guy that really shot up the rankings was Ty Dellandrea of the Flint Firebirds of the Ontario Hockey League. Back in March, Dellandrea was ranked 50th, and then in your final rankings, he was ranked 18th overall. How did he climb so high up your list?
Well, first of all, you know, I you know what, I'm gonna give a little credit here to Mike McKenzie, Bob McKenzie's son. Mike is a general manager in Kitchener, and you know, we've talked about Ty over a long period of time, and you know, he said to me that, you know, Craig, he says, when you watch Ty, he says, you got to keep in mind that he's in Flint where he has no support around him, none, and when you're watching him play, and he's got to do everything on his own. So not only does he have to go get the puck, he's got to go get the puck back. He has to make plays without the support of people. They decimated their team. They traded everybody off. So not only over the course of the year, but as time went on, I mean, he was left with nothing. So, you know, having that, and he said, you got to, and Mike really emphasized to me, you got to keep, so it was really, really important for me when I went back and looked at my scouting notes, and Ty's another player I've watched for 2.5 years. You take everything into consideration, and sometimes it's not just going forward. You look back and you consider, geez, that's a really good point. I thought it was an outstanding point by Mike McKenzie, and it opened up not only my eyes to what I'd previously seen, but then when he got to the under-18 championship in Russia, I mean, he was unbelievable in my view. But it also, my mind was opened up to what he was. And instead of saying what he wasn't doing in Flint, you know, I took what Mike had told me. He's an excellent skater. He's got a really outstanding tenacity to him. He's got an ability to make plays. He wants to shoot the puck. And I think that when you start to look at it with players that can support him and be around him, compliment him, he's only going to be that much better. That's exactly what I saw at the U18 tournament. And I really have Mike McKenzie as a person that really opened up my mind and my eyes to that. So that's the rationale for where Ty Dellandrea is at on my final list.
Craig Button is TSN's director of scouting. The NHL draft is a little less than 2 weeks away. Craig, appreciate your time and insight. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Always my pleasure, gentlemen. You have a great day.
Likewise, Craig, you too. Thanks again. When we come back, TSN has released their first trade bait board of the offseason.
And we have an answer.
We have an answer, and the same individual has done it three different times. We'll talk about that next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca.
Who's the leading scorer once again? Look at that one! Bounces in on Ward. And they found the holes now. And was it his first? Yes, it is. Max Pacioretty finally gets his first of the season.
That was going back a few years, 5 years ago to be exact. Max Pacioretty scoring for the Montreal Canadiens. A lot of chatter that Max Pacioretty may no longer be a member of the Canadiens, perhaps after July 1st. A lot of talk of his name being bandied about in trade rumors. We'll talk about the TSN trade bait board this segment. But before that, the question that we asked is, who was the last defenseman?
We better have an answer.
We have an answer.
We have the answer.
Ezzy, you're taking this person.
Yeah, you have to buy this person an Illegal Curve sandwich. So the question that we asked was, who was the last defenseman to lead the NHL in regular season scoring and playoff scoring? So yep. The same defenseman led all defensemen in both regular season and the playoffs.
Yes, we understand, Drew.
Okay, so I want to make sure you understand.
A lot of points in the regular season, a lot of points in the playoffs.
Had a couple defenseman. Answers come in via text message saying, well, it's obviously Bobby Orr.
Yep.
And Bobby Orr did it three different times.
Which, by the way, for those who
were listening to the end of the... I don't care what anybody says. Bobby Orr's the greatest defenseman of all time.
Those who were listening to the end of the segment,
who
erroneously was about to suggest that it was Bobby Orr.
Yes.
So we've had the crack research team at Illegal Curve, which is me and Drew so far, have both been wrong.
Yes. The research team is failing miserably.
Yes.
So we had a couple answers of Bobby Orr, some other people chiming in on Twitter.
You guys should work for the Trump administration. Just kidding.
Hashtag fake news. Bobby Orr again coming in via
Ray
Twitter.
Bork.
Ray Bourque, Drew Doughty.
But the answer from our very own producer.
Yes, producer Rory McGoran.
Right there.
Kudos to Rory for getting the answer correct. In the 2012 NHL season, the lockout shortened season, Chris Letang led all defensemen with, 38 points in the regular season, 38 points in 35 games played, tying for top overall with PK Subban despite playing seven fewer games. And then in the playoffs, Chris Letang led all defensemen with 16 points in those playoffs despite playing only 15 games. Zdeno Chara, who finished second, had 15 points in 22 games. But the answer, as to the most recent defenseman before John Carlson this year to lead in regular season and playoff scoring by a defenseman, was Chris Letang back in 2012. So congratulations to producer Rory.
Although it could be a bit of an asterisk because, I mean, he tied in the...
Yeah, but he's tied for first.
Yeah.
We didn't say he had to lead. He had to have the individual lead.
Okay.
The outright lead.
All right, Rory, I won't deny you your prize.
Congratulations to producer Rory. Ezzy owes him an Illegal Curve sandwich.
Wait, right, didn't the Kings beat the Devils in the final that year?
No, I think that we thought that was the Blackhawks beating the Bruins in
the final. No, in 2012, the Kings won the Cup, and I'm pretty sure they beat the Devils that year.
Hell of a research team.
It was for sure the Kings that won the Cup that year. That was the first ever Stanley Cup in 2012.
You sure that wasn't 2011-12?
2011 was the Bruins.
12-13 was the Blackhawks.
Oh, no, 11-12 was the Kings.
11-12 was the Kings because they won it.
Oh, right, yeah. 13 was the Hawks.
Remember, we were in Kentucky for my wedding, and that's when they swept the Canucks in the first round as the 8th seed. 12-13 was the Blackhawks.
Right.
Yes. Right. Stop confusing us.
Yeah, Ezzy, you're showing that the research team should not be any of the three of us.
It's clearly
only Rory McGoran.
Producer Rory McGoran, congratulations. Ezzy owes you an Illegal Curve sandwich. Good luck getting him to pay up. That's going to be the more difficult thing, even despite this question.
Okay. Right, Chicago beat Boston in the final. Right.
Yes, we already discussed that. Then you confused us, and now we're back to square one.
Sorry, that lockout year was just I mean, that was a...
As he's saying, the lockout year is a throwout year. We got to start again.
Let's talk about the trade.
We better not have another lockout.
Well, I think we will.
I can't
have
take an
lockout.
Entire year of watching poker on TV.
I suspect we're going to have another lockout that's coming up.
I'm excited for those morning papers.
Don't
what
say
are
the word.
What are the chances the lockout ends today?
Well, we have, I guess, 3 years to think of a snappy title of the lockout.
Well, Remus is going to end the lockout, so it doesn't even matter.
Excuse me, who?
Remus and Dave ended the lockout. They're the only two people who were awake at 3 in the morning when the lockout ended.
Well, Dave is nocturnal, so.
I was, but I actually, it was funny, I'd been up till about 2 something thinking it was going to end, and I was like, forget it, I'm going to bed. And I almost always turn my cell phone
what
off.
What was the segment about?
The TSN trade bait board.
Hey, I'm segueing into something else.
Yeah.
And I
Drew just shot up to number one on the trade bait board.
I went to turn my phone off, and I didn't. And then next thing I know, I get a phone call from Remus. Dave. And I'm like, yes, Remus. He goes,
hey, guys.
He goes, the lockout is over. And I went, okay. And I'm like, what do you want from me? It's like 3 in the morning. I'm like, Remus, what do you want? No, it was later. Maybe it was 4. And I literally went, picked Remus up, came to the station, the two of us. Remus popped everything on. Remus and I were live on air, breaking the news.
It's quite the operation we got here. If I recall correctly, weren't you guys texting with Dennis? Because Dennis was overseas at the
Dennis
World Junior.
Dennis was in Germany, I think. Was he in Germany?
Would have been for the World Juniors at that time.
And Dennis is like, you guys should go to the station. We're like, all right. So then it was a Saturday morning. You all were, everybody was asleep.
Well, it was 4 in the morning.
Hey, well, you know, I like to party.
Okay. You and Remus are both party animals. Eric Carlson, now that we can get back on topic after Dave praised himself for the entirety of a 12-minute segment there, does Eric Carlson get traded before, in and around this summer?
You know, there's always the possibility he is traded. Don't get me wrong. But when I think of it from an analytical point of view, I mean, you're not going to ever get an Eric Carlson in return. I don't care if you get 5 first-round picks. He's a franchise defenseman. So I think they have to figure it out, and I realize there are some issues there with the owner. But if you're not trading him, you're signing him to an 8-year deal for sure.
Well, but I mean...
But you'll get a sense. I mean, I think that Eric Carlson's going to have enough loyalty to the city, regardless of how he feels potentially about the owner. I think that there's an understanding that he would want them to get value. So I think that from his perspective, I think he would be straight up with them is what I'm getting at. I think he would say, look, I have no intention of signing long-term here. And because really from his perspective, what does he have to lose?
Nothing.
That's the whole point. So honesty at least allows the franchise to save face, get something, some value for him. And then he goes to where he's going to sign. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm simply saying that I think he would have enough consideration for the organization to give them that heads up.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, there's probably a better chance that he is traded. But I think if
you don't think it necessarily happens this summer, though.
Right.
I mean, now the question, I think Dave's got a good point that he's probably got enough. He's got enough class to the organization and maybe class to the city and class to the fan base to tell them that point blank so that he doesn't leave them in a Ryan Suter, Zach Parise situation like they did when they left New Jersey and Nashville respectively.
We'll see what happens, boys, but I think it's kind of like 50-50 right now. I think if I had to guess what's going to happen, I would say that he probably gets traded during the season at some point.
Trade deadline in and around there,
right.
Whatever. Time will tell. When we come back, Chris Peters joins us. We talk about some of the American-born prospects for the upcoming 2018 NHL draft. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
A little past 11:30 in the morning, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. Producer Rory McGoran is the smartest one of us all, as we've already discussed today on the program.
Chris Letang's number one fan.
There you go. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From ESPN.com, he's our good friend Chris Peters. He joins us to discuss some of the American draft prospects at the upcoming NHL draft taking place in a little less than 2 weeks from now in Dallas. Chris, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, guys. Thanks
Good to be with you.
Chris obviously brought John, as I mentioned, to talk about the upcoming draft. Brady Tkachuk of Boston University. The Tkachuk name, of course, very familiar to those of us here in Winnipeg. He's the highest rated American prospect for the upcoming draft and has been described as a bigger, meaner version of his brother Matthew Tkachuk, of course, with the Calgary Flames. Do you think Tkachuk will go in the top five? And do you think he can make the jump to the NHL next season?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. You know, I think he could. It really depends. The interesting thing I've been talking about with scouts is basically after number one, nobody's really sure what's going to happen. And that's kind of an amazing place to be for the draft. I think scouts have been especially cagey about where they have certain guys. You know, it's easier for me to get descriptions than for me to get any advice on where they would slot a guy on their list. So I think that everybody's being extremely cautious. But, you know, he certainly has an opportunity to go in the top five. You know, he's my number four rated prospect in my list that's going to come out next week. He's a guy that, you know, as you mentioned, big and mean. He's still growing into his body. I was talking to a scout recently who, you know, he said he's got to get stronger. And I was like, really? He's already one of the strongest players that I've seen this year. And he's like, well, yeah, he's got more to give. And Brady agreed with that as well because I asked him about that. And he does. He came into the National Team Development Program at 5'9" and like 160 some pounds, and now he's almost 200 pounds and 6'3". So I mean, he's obviously just grown into this body, and still has a little ways to go. But he's also got a lot more offense, and I think people give him credit for his numbers weren't great in college this year, which you know is actually kind of typical. He had a typical freshman season. You know, Jack Eichel kind of spoiled us, and Kyle Connor as well in terms of what's possible for a freshman, but Brady's actually a pretty young freshman. So for him to go in there and do what he did was very positive. I think he's got good quick hands, good vision, distributes the puck pretty well, and he's really good around the net, obviously, using that big frame to get himself some space. But obviously a gritty guy with a pro frame and a pro style game, and certainly the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Chris, you just mentioned the U.S. National Development Team program. Next player we wanted to ask you about is Oliver Wahlstrom. He's been called one of the best pure goal scorers in the draft, had a great season with the U.S. National Team, and he's projected to be a top 10 pick. He's listed as a center and a winger. Some scouts think, though, that he's going to be better suited to be a winger at the NHL level. What's your take on Wahlstrom?
Yeah, 100% he's a winger for me. And I think he's going to be a dangerous winger at that. He absolutely is a natural goal scorer. You know, he's big. He's added more power to his game this year on top of the skill that he already has. But there is nobody in this draft that shoots the puck the way that he does. I think Zadina and Svechnikov have tremendous elite level shots that are going to help them score a lot of goals. I think Oliver Wahlstrom has a better shot. He's better shooting off the pass. He can really take pretty much anything. I was talking to a scout that had said, you know, one of the things that made Brett Hull such a great goal scorer is it didn't matter where the puck got to him, he was still able to get his shot off, and that's exactly the way that Wahlstrom is as well. And we saw his offensive game, his precision opened up a little bit more when he had an elite level center like Jack Hughes this year, who's, you know, could go number one next year. They played together, and they were just absolutely dynamic with each other. And to have an elite level setup man like Jack Hughes really helped Oliver Wahlstrom's game. But it actually, people shouldn't give Jack Hughes too much credit because Wahlstrom's shot rates were very similar to before Hughes made the jump to the U18 team. So just a tremendous offensive force. He's an athletic kid. He's got great size, and just the strength that he's added over these last 2 years has really opened up that power element, and I think that that's why he's going to have a better chance to make it. You know, he's supposed to go to Boston College next year, which is he was initially slated to go to Harvard. I don't think he was able to get cleared to get in there. Decided to go to Boston College, but I would not be surprised if the team that drafts him has interest in sending him to the American Hockey League, because in terms of physical readiness, he's not that far away.
You know, Chris, scouts love defenseman Quinn Hughes from the University of Michigan skating and his playmaking ability, while other scouts have concerns about his size and his play away from the puck. Do you think his strengths outweigh his weaknesses?
Absolutely. Yeah, I there's no question. I think he's one of the most unique defensemen that I've seen come out of the national team program. And they've obviously developed, you know, some incredible blue liners, Jake Trouba, Seth Jones, you know, just a ton of different defensemen that have come out of that program. And now at Michigan, he's, you know, really following in the skate strides of Zach Werenski and did some amazing things this year as the youngest player in college hockey. You know, his play away from the puck, I think, has kind of been overstated a little bit. You know, when he's back, it's he can defend just fine. He's got a good defensive stick. He's got a real knack and smarts for the game. You know, and he also, you know, the fact that he's smaller is a challenge. It certainly doesn't help him in the corners or at the net front, but he still can play solidly there. I think the big thing is, you know, just making the right decisions with the puck, making sure that, you know, when you're not putting your team in a bad spot, because he likes to get up in the play. But you know, he's a high level distributor. I think we saw in the World Championship this year when he played for Team USA, that they were completely comfortable with him in any role. And, you know, he played twice against Canada in that tournament. And I thought that those were some of his best games, where he was just keeping everything really contained. He was able to make plays and have the confidence to make plays, despite the fact that he was playing against established NHLers. And to me, the skating is the real separating factor. I think his lateral movement is exceptional. His footwork is just out of this world in terms of the way that he uses his edges. And there's just really nobody that skates like him in this draft. And it's not all about the speed. It's about the agility that he has and just the fact that he can change direction so quickly and can be very confusing to forechecking forwards and also in the offensive zone, really difficult to shut down because he moves the puck so well. So to me, he's you know, the most dynamic of the defensemen in this draft. You know, Adam Boqvist certainly up there. Evan Bouchard, excellent offensive defenseman. Ryan Merkley. But to me, the dynamic elements that Quinn Hughes brings to the table outweigh any concerns about size and potentially defensive deficiencies.
Chris Peters is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Chris is with ESPN.com. We're talking about the American draft eligible prospects for the upcoming NHL draft in Dallas. Chris, Joel Farabee excelled this season for the U.S. National Team Development Program, playing with Oliver Wahlstrom and 2019 projected first overall pick Jack Hughes. He's committed to go to Boston University next season. What's your assessment of Joel Farabee?
You know, he's an interesting guy because he had to do a lot of the dirty work. You know, he had to be the net front guy. He had to be the guy that digs pucks out of corners and grind a little bit. But the amazing thing about that is, despite all that, he's willing to do that, but he's got great skill as well. Very good passer. He has some shifty moves, good release. You know, he actually played away from Wahlstrom and Hughes at the under-18 championship to try and balance out the offense a little bit. And they didn't really go back to that trio until they needed some goals. And I think that what he does is, you know, his versatility, his ability to play on the PK, you know, willingness to block shots, do all those other things on top of that skill. He's not a big guy, you know, so he's got to work harder. He's got to continue to get stronger. But he's going to a great place for that. Boston University is renowned around the sporting world for their strength and conditioning program. And I think that he's going to only benefit from that, even though David Quinn will no longer be the head coach there. So I think that he's the type of guy that teams like him because he is not afraid to get his nose dirty and do all those things on top of having that skill. And you know, one of the things that his coach, Seth Appert, had said is, you know, the things that make, you know, Jack Hughes and Oliver Wahlstrom great, they have an easier opportunity to do that when Joel Farabee's on their line. So that's high praise for him because he does a lot of the dirty work, and it doesn't always get noticed that helps lead to offense and helps teams excel, and I think he's a high-character guy as well.
Chris, Dave asked you about defenseman Quinn Hughes earlier, so we're going to ask you about another defenseman who's committed to play for the University of Michigan with Quinn Hughes. That's Bode Wild. Wild is projected to be somewhere in that mid-first round, early first round. Scouts love his skating ability, and he's actually been compared, and some scouts have called him a slightly smaller version of Dustin Byfuglien. He's also got a booming shot. What do you think Wild's upside is at the NHL level?
Well, the biggest thing that Wild's got to work on is decision-making with the puck. I think that, you know, physical tools unquestionably are exceptional. Good stick handler, good passer, amazing shot, physical game. But he needs to get better with his decision-making, because I think physically he's one of the most advanced defensemen in this draft. I just have real concern about his hockey sense. And I'm a little bit lower on Wild than some of the some of the people out there are, but I think it's because of those physical tools that he has that there's such excitement about his game. To me, he's one of the best athletes in this draft in terms of just his conditioning, his ability to play a ton. He had a tremendous level of points this year. It's really, really hard for those national team development program guys on the back end to put up big points. You know, you look at the all-time list and for single season points, and it's Adam Fox and Quinn Hughes are up there. I think Bodie Wild kind of got into that top 10 this year. He had over 40 points. So it's a pretty impressive feat for him to have accomplished. But I just worry about his decision making under pressure when he's got a forecheck on him, but he has so many of those physical tools where he can compensate for that. So he's going to a good spot. I think Michigan develops defensemen extremely well. He's going to have an opportunity to have his offensive game flourish within their system, but they're also going to kind of make sure that he's making those right decisions and getting good reps against a much faster pace. And I think that the college game is going to offer him the challenge that he needs to just raise his game to the next level. But I think, you know, certainly a first round prospect for me. I'm just maybe not in the top half of the draft thinking about him, or top half of the first round as he is often mentioned.
You know, Chris, Jake Wise is no longer projected to be a top 10 pick, but he still put up solid numbers as a second line center for the U.S. national under 18 team. What do you like most about his game?
I think the pace that he plays at. He's incredibly fast, and you know, he it's not just that he skates fast, it's that he makes plays at speed. He gets into the zone very well. I think he's one of the best through the neutral zone that they had on that team this year. You know, he's the kind of guy that you wanted carrying the puck into the zone, creates opportunities that way. You know, he didn't have the benefit of playing with a Wahlstrom, you know, through most of the season. He was injured, and that team struggled when he was out. When he came back, they were a lot better of a team, and I thought that he made them deeper and more dangerous. You know, to me, I think there's a chance that he could potentially sneak into the bottom of the first round. I think it's more likely that he ends up as a second round pick. But, you know, not tremendous size, and he needs to get stronger, but, you know, because he had an injury that cost him half a season this year. But he's the kind of guy that's going to bring you some really good value because he's got tremendous upside due to how fast he's able to play the game. Definitely tailor-made for today's NHL.
Chris Peters covers the NHL. He covers the world of draft prospects for ESPN.com. He's a good friend of the show. Chris, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining us and providing insight into some of these American top draft picks for the upcoming NHL draft.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Take care, Chris. When we come back, one final segment on this Saturday morning. Valeri Nichushkin on his way back to the Dallas Stars. Talk about the impact that's going to have on the Stars. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Ran into Sagan in front of the Dallas bench. There goes Nichushkin into the zone. Big Val getting free. Nichushkin in. A shot. He scores. Big Val makes it 2-1 Dallas.
Former first round pick of the Dallas Stars, Valeri Nichushkin, spent the last couple of years back in Russia. He's set to return to the Dallas Stars this upcoming season, reportedly signing a 2-year deal with the team after he left the squad when his entry-level contract expired. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. One final segment on this Saturday morning. It's brought to you by our good friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit RumorsComedyClub.com. Tonight at Rumors, his final night in town, packed audiences all week long. Derek Séguin is in town for his final two shows tonight.
Tyler's brother.
Yeah, no, but that's clever nonetheless. And then, of course, next week, a special concert series event. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. You've seen them in Dumb and Dumber, Something About Mary, Half-Baked.
You Hungry Girl?
Sorority Boys, Harlan Williams back at Rumors Comedy Club next week.
You remember that line from Half-Baked?
I do. I preferred his role more in There's Something About Mary when they're interrogating him and he's in the car with Ben Stiller and he's talking about 4-minute abs instead of 5-minute abs or exactly what it was. Anyways, that's the role I prefer him in. But he's at Rumors Comedy Club next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's a few tickets remaining. You can get them at rumorscomedyclub.com. Valeri Nichushkin returns to the Dallas Stars after probably an up-and-down entry-level contract with him, and then he left the team. He spent a couple years back in Russia. If you remember, he sort of started off pretty well as a first-round pick of the Stars. Then he had an injury-riddled year, and then he had a down season.
He missed almost the entire 2014-2015 season.
Exactly.
As you mentioned, he had a great rookie year.
Yeah, a hip injury, and he's been over in Russia, and he hasn't torn it up. He had 27 points in 50 games with CSKA Moscow this season. Probably the most interesting part about his time over in Russia is that he was disqualified by the International Olympic Committee from playing for the Olympic athletes of Russia.
And I don't think we ever found out either.
No, we never found out the reason why. I mean,
they could have used him. they won gold without him, but yeah. He would have been one of their top players.
Most of the other athletes who were disqualified was due to potential doping violations.
Right.
So I'm not saying that was the situation in this case, but it was interesting, and we never did find out the specific reason why he was banned by the International Olympic Committee. Irrelevant to our discussions right now, he's going to be back with the Dallas Stars next season. And for a Dallas Stars team that is really in desperate need of secondary offense, he could potentially be a pretty big boon to their second, third lines, maybe even some power play time when he returns from Russia.
Yeah, after Tyler Seguin, after Jamie Benn and Alex Radulov, Drew, you know that the drop-off is big for that forward group.
Yeah.
And obviously John Klingberg is one of the best offensive defensemen, but they need some help there. And Nichushkin is a guy, for me, that steps right in and plays on your second line. And we've talked about the Dallas Stars, you know, throughout the season. Their biggest need right now is they need to probably add a top four defenseman, and they need to bring in a legitimate number two center.
Sure,
because Jason
Spezza can't fill that role anymore.
Right, and he's got 1 year left on his contract. You know, there are rumors that, you know, maybe the Stars are going to look to move Jason Spezza, but obviously, you know, a team is going to have to want to take on that salary, and Dave, maybe Dallas is even going to have to eat up some of that salary. So Nichushkin's a great player, and you mentioned, you know, his numbers in Russia maybe don't overwhelm you, but he's got lots of speed. People forget Nichushkin's got good size, good hands. He's a goal scorer, but he's also a playmaker. So, you know, this is great news for Jim Neal and the Dallas Stars, because as you mentioned, you know, the Dallas Stars were not one of the better offensive teams in the league, as opposed to a couple years back where defense was the problem, goaltending was the problem. Now they brought in Ben Bishop. They've solidified their goaltending. Now what they need to do is complement Seguin, Ben, and Radulov. So really good news again that Nichushkin's coming back, because I absolutely think, you know, he's a guy that can score, you know, 20 goals, 25 goals at the NHL level.
Well, his return, it's interesting because he's coming back. You've heard that the Dallas Stars potentially could be in the running for Ilya Kovalchuk, who's also set to return to the Dallas Stars organization. So it's interesting, Dave, if you wonder if the Dallas Stars would maybe do a combo deal, try and bring them both in, and you get sort of a veteran Russian presence for Nichushkin as he returns to the NHL.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're Dallas, you've got a veteran group that you want to win with right now. You're not looking to win 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line. This is a team that's built really with these players to try and do something in the immediate future. So, you know, that's to me is what you're trying to do if you're the Dallas Stars.
That's it for this Saturday morning in the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. A big thank you to all of our guests, Chris Peters, Craig Button, Kalen Addison, Ben Raby, and did I miss anybody?
Michael Trakos.
Michael Trakos, thank you. In case you missed any of the show, it's available for download on our website. It's available for download on tsn1290.ca, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Get it sent to you each and every week. Big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Keener Jerseys. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. Big props to producer Rory McGoran doing a great job and answering our trivia question. For Dave Manuk and Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290.
long as we stick together as a team, we'll be all right.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.